This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time, Mark, today to come on our show. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to meet you, Pat. I love your background with the 67s. And as we talked about offline, I'm a hockey fanatic too.
You come to the right place, like we said. Hey, Mark, why don't we start off? You tell our listeners who you are and your company and what you're all about, please.
Sure, thanks. I'm Mark Cox. I run a sales training company for sales leaders, salespeople, and business development or sales development reps. And we take a different approach to training where it's multi-event training. We leverage video after the fact. So we try and inoculate against the forgetting curve. And we've trained thousands of sales leaders or salespeople, Pat, and we offer a money-back guarantee for everything we do. And nobody's ever taken us up on it. So we're trying to improve the performance and professionalism of B2B sales. And in doing so, we think we're improving the lives of people in professional sales.
And Mark, how old is the company?
10 years old now.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened fast.
That's a big anniversary.
It was, you know, it kind of snuck up on us. But yeah, we've just been celebrating this year, 10 years for In the Funnel.
And do you service companies in the GTA, in Ontario, Canada? Like, what's your territory?
Actually, it's global, Pat. And this is the amazing thing about COVID. It used to be kind of North America, where people would travel to Toronto for an in-person workshop, or we would travel to certain cities in the U.S. outside of Canada. And then during the pandemic, some of the training moved online and virtual. And so we've had everybody literally all over the world, India, China, all over Europe. And so we do both today. We do in-person workshops for large corporate customers who want to bring us in to do kind of private custom work. And then we do public sales workshops, either in person or online and virtual. So it depends.
Do you have a preference, Mark, in terms of what you prefer doing and the results?
Yeah, I absolutely prefer in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being in a room with people, it's a completely different dynamic. And there's ways of trying to get that way virtually. But of course, if you or I were sitting in a bar having a beer today, instead of being on a Zoom call, it'd be a much better engagement because, you know, you can't replace that face to face.
But having said that, Mark, I mean, I'm assuming that, hey listen, if you can do it by Zoom, and it's better to get some training versus none. And do any of these clients that they do the Zoom training, do they then call you and say, hey, listen, we like that so much, let's fly you in and do an in-person one later on?
Yeah, what a great question. That absolutely happens. In addition to the training, Pat, what we end up having is this community. So because we do training, let's say through Zoom, and then somebody gets access to our online learning academy to continue the learning on their time at their pace, and they get that for a year. And part of that is a chat feature where they can connect in and chat with other people who have been through our training. And particularly in B2B sales, it can be isolating. So people tend to stay in our community forever, and they come to repeated workshops. They come year over year. We train the same team. So that does happen frequently, where we might have a team, you know, send one or two people. And then over time, their sales team builds out. So now they've got 10, 12 folks, which makes more sense to get us to come to their location. So that does happen.
And Mark, what were you doing before you started this?
Yeah, great. I used to run large sales organizations in the corporate world. So in either outsourcing or technology companies. So I kind of fell into sales and then grew up in professional B2B sales, and then started running large sales organizations. And about 10 years ago, in the middle of a transition, I was leaving a sales leadership role and was going to recalibrate things. It was probably going to take about a year to find my next adventure to run some other large sales organization. And in the middle of it, a few smaller companies came to me and said, hey, can you help us out? And before I knew it, I was working with these three small businesses, all less than 100 employees. And one day I just had this epiphany while I was in the middle of an interview to take over the Canadian operations of a large technology company, a U.S. company that sells into Canadian banks, I had this epiphany that I'd rather be working with those other companies than running this thing. And so left the interview. I you know, played nice in the interview, left it, went to a coffee shop, and then called my wife, beautiful wife, Donna, and said, hey, listen, I don't think I'm going to work for anyone anymore. I think it's time for us to try and build this business. And that was about 10 years ago.
Wow. And did you have obviously you had those first initial three clients that you were doing work for. Did you have a business plan in your head kind of thought out at that point or not?
Just really? High level.
Yeah.
Pat, you know, just kind of high level now, but you point out a good point. We were never really a startup because we had these three clients and we were consulting. It wasn't training, it was consulting. And I will say that at the start of the pandemic, all of our clients in consulting went overnight, they went to zero. So we had months during the start of the pandemic, particularly the first couple, where we hadn't actually thought of doing virtual training. We had these in-person workshops all booked, facilities paid for, books printed and everything. They all got canceled. We ate it all.
Wow.
And then we had a couple of months of zero revenue. And so that's when I think we really had we went through the gauntlet to become a real startup. And frankly, just a large client came to us and said, listen, we need to do something to keep our very large sales organization busy. You're going to train us. We didn't even come up with the idea. Hmm. And they said, you're going to train us virtually. They didn't ask, you know, had we done it before? They just needed some help immediately. We jumped in and we kind of learned with them through the process. They were a fantastic client and that's how it had came to be.
There's so many stories like that as a result of the pandemic, something that was, you know, that was terrible on so many levels. And yet some business owners, not all by any stretch, but some of them were able to find and pivot and move and
yes,
come up with a bit of a different approach, you know, if not a completely different business. In most cases, the people I talked to, it wasn't a completely different business, but just a different way of looking at their current business.
Yes. Yeah. We're members, Pat, of something called Strategic Coach. So we believe in training and coaching, but we also go get training and coaching. And so there, I guess maybe 25,000 people have been through their coach program. They've got a huge community. It's an amazing company. But we heard loads of stories like that, you know, where companies were just exploding. And many of the people that had these businesses that were exploding, they felt very guilty about it almost because everything was so challenging for many other people.
Is that Dan Sullivan's?
It is. Yeah, Dan Sullivan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his 80-20 book, and I've read all the stuff. And yeah.
Just amazing. I'm a massive fan of that company.
Yeah.
Massive fan of that company.
And he's Canadian, if I recall.
He's actually American.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's American, but it's a Canadian company. Head office is in Toronto. Right. Dan and his co-founder and partner, Bab Smith. And but they've got offices in Chicago. They've got offices in London, in the UK. And I think they're probably the largest entrepreneurial coaching program for successful growth-oriented entrepreneurs. So there's metrics to get into the program. It's not for startups from zero, but it's just amazing. His thought leadership and tools, processes, and approach is just amazing.
Mark, how did you handle that couple of months when the pandemic started and no business was coming in? Did you, what was your mindset like during that time?
Yeah, what a great question, Pat. So I had a little double hit, to be honest with you. You and I are athletes. I'd torn a retina literally 30 days prior to COVID starting. And I'm reasonably young. This was a total surprise. I'm healthy. I had no idea. It wasn't an incident. It was just a genetic fault. So I didn't get hit in the head with a puck or anything. But what was required was I had to stay stagnant for 30 days. And 22 hours out of 24 hours, I had to have my head tilted a certain way. So I literally had not moved off the couch for 30 days. Then the second week I get up off the couch, COVID hits. And so it was kind of this, it was very unique in terms of this sort of double hit because I'd turned off the business for a kind of a month and then we hit COVID. And the approach or the mindset we took then was we didn't know what was going to happen, but we knew our clients were experiencing challenges. So all we did, Pat, was just reach out to every past client we had to just have a conversation about them and their business. Never mind us or our business, because we didn't even know what our business was going to become. But it was a conversation to find out from our clients, what was going on? How are they doing? What, did we have any knowledge or insight or guidance that could help? We really focused on that. And so we called them these value chats that we ended up having. And we, but at that point in time, all of our clients were really open to chatting. And these were long conversations. They were both personal and professional. And that's what we did. And then from those things, eventually things kind of came back to us where they were finding ways that they might need our help and assistance. And we kind of pivoted business that had been a consulting business and converted to a training business at that point in time. And then really that's been just enormously successful. We've been very fortunate that it's been enormously successful ever since then. But that was kind of a key pivot point. And all we knew to do was really just to reach out and try and help somebody else.
It's interesting, isn't it, Mark, that, you know, sometimes as business owners, the decisions we make that are not financially based, we just want to do good, end up rewarding us financially.
You know, I think that's the case. I think it's sort of the way of the universe where, you know, if you can, you know, if you get out of your own head and just focus on, hey, what you're grateful for, but just helping somebody else, you know, the truth of it is it just makes you feel better. And eventually there's this karma in life and good things happen. So that's certainly the way we like to try and spend our time. And make no mistake, you know, we run a profitable business and we're driven to succeed and grow. But I think it all starts with making sure that we're adding huge value into the universe and into our community and with our clients. And then good things come from there.
That's great advice, Mark. I think all of our listeners can benefit from that kind of mindset. Mark, let's kind of shift gears a bit and get into a little bit about some of the business lessons you've learned along the way. Any wisdom you'd like to share with our audience?
Oh, sure. Thanks, Pat. So first of all, I kind of started as an entrepreneur, which was kind of interesting. So right out of college, university, I did one of those painting companies, and I'm pretty old. So I was in the early days of that. And it was a great company called Student Works Painting, and they still exist today. And it was just an incredibly steep learning curve in university to start running a business and sell paint jobs and run companies. One of the key lessons that I really learned then and there was coaching mattered. I'm still amazed at the personal growth I experienced over a 4 or 5 month period of time through the guidance of somebody who was only 4 or 5 years older than me. It's not like they were a mature business person, but intentional training and coaching where they were trying to unleash the potential within me. They weren't trying to make themselves look great. They were just trying to unleash the potential within me. So the value of coaching is something that's really important. And as an entrepreneur today, I continue to invest in myself and my own personal development by looking outside for coaching and continuing to learn. So getting away from being a kind of a know-it-all and trying to stay a learn-it-all. The second thing, you know, one of the key lessons I've learned, which was not easy for me, and this was a nugget that I pulled from Strategic Coach, the importance of taking time off. And, you know, in the corporate world, people work, and they're exhausted, and then they go take time off when they're exhausted to recharge. But when you're an entrepreneur, as you know better than anybody, Pat, every day, every week, every month, there's no such thing as an easy meeting. You've got to be providing value. You've got to be in your best self. So you first got to rest and charge up to be as great as you can, because you can't be wound down in front of a client. They're actually engaging you to have your best self. And so I continue to see these benefits that if I can, you know, take what coach calls free days, strategic coach calls free days, you know, literally, I'm so much better almost immediately. Take my mind out of business for at least a 24-hour period of time. Do the things I love. And then when I come back, I'm way better off. And then the final thing is, you know, at this stage of running a business, at some stage you get to this level where I want to do the things that I really want to do. There's a lot of other things I can do, but there are people who are better at that than me. And so again, a lot of these things come from Strategic Coach because they're so smart about this, but they call it who, not how. So I'm an MBA. I can, you know, I did pretty well in finance. I could do my books. I don't want to. That's not something, there's a lot of people who get energy from doing finance and accounting and all that kind of stuff and banking. I get energy out of being in front of a room teaching and coaching people. Or being on a podcast like this is kind of a thrill for me. So again, thank you for having me. So focusing as an entrepreneur on the things that are really my core strength, Strategic Coach calls them unique ability, and then finding a team who can do all the other things that aren't in my, you know, unique ability. Those are kind of key lessons for me.
Mark, you mentioned the free days, and it's something that I know a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with. What would you say to someone listening that's saying, listen, I'm so busy, I just cannot afford to take that for you, because you've been there.
Yeah.
So what would you say to that, and how would you overcome that?
If you commit to it for four, just try it. Commit to it for 4 weeks and then come back and see if you're better, if you got more done or less done in the other days. The truth of it is, you know, there are a couple of things that are really hard to do when you take this time off. They also say don't think about business. Now, of course, that's impossible. It's super hard. But at least if you're cognizant of it, Pat, when it starts to come in your mind, you sort of push it out a little bit. And you've got to get better at this over time. The other thing for me, which was fun, they said, don't read books on business. So I'm a voracious reader, lifelong learner. So waking up on a Saturday morning and pulling a book that wasn't a business book. So now I start to read books about musicians I love or bands I love. Or I read a great book about the WHA a little while back, which was so funny.
Yeah.
Just that wonky hockey league, which is amazing. So, but try it like anything in life, but you can't just try it once. You got to try, you know, give yourself a month of doing proper free days, 24 hours where you don't think about or do anything about business. And then when you go back to the business, if you're not better off, then go back to your way. But eventually, even if you love your work, we all face burnout at some stage of the game. You know, there's stress and then rest, you know, and then do it again. So you need that rest. And I think it's really, really critical.
And Mark, are the free days the way Dan Sullivan's team teaches it? Do they care which day of the week it is? Like, are they suggesting that you take a free day? No. Or what are they saying? Basically,
any day. Yeah. Okay. Again, I'm not the perfect expert on Strategic Coach, but I've been a member for 5 years. And all this stuff is online, by the way, with Strategic Coach team. This is all their great thinking. But no, any day of the week. But take that time away, and it will literally make your brain bigger.
Yeah. It really is hard to do, though. But it's so necessary.
Yeah.
It took me forever to figure out that when I go on holidays, I try, and I'm getting better at it, to not check email at all while I'm gone.
Yeah. You know what, Pat? I think it, I learned that a lot in the corporate world, by the way, frankly, because you get so many more emails in the corporate world. I mean, it's all internal facing, right? And after responding and reacting badly on vacation, problem with vacation is you're not in it. So you're so much more reactive. When you take a look at something, you may be less patient, less rough. Like, it's like responding to email late at night. It's just a mistake. And so after doing a couple of things where, hey, my response was maybe a little too harsh, I did realize that, and frankly, what I do on vacation now is we have a great team at In the Funnel. And my wife doesn't mind being, my wife is not deeply involved in the business. So she's on email when we're on vacation, because it might be family and friends and all these kinds of good things. So our kind of office leader here is named Sandra D'Souza. She's amazing. She knows that if there's something crazy urgent that happens within the funnel while we're on vacation, she'll actually email and text Donna. And so what I get to do is I go on vacation, I'm not checking email at all, but I have this comfort that if the house was, you know, something was really major that was happening that I needed to participate in, that I'd be advised of it because Donna will get pinged by Sandra. And frankly, the last time we were down in in the South, something happened and there was this important thing where, you know, a huge piece of business, somebody needed kind of some help on it, an updated quote or something. It was all good. I spent half an hour. I did it, got it off, away I went, put the tools away. And for me, it's consecutive days away from work actually really recharge me.
Yeah, my, like you, I've got a great team here at Extension. And our rule of thumb is if something you absolutely need me for, you text me. That way I don't have to check email, but if I get a text, I know I got to respond to it.
Right. That's a great, great system. So you can also have comfort.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you know, as soon as you go in to email, now there's 75 and you've killed 2 hours and you're wasting a beautiful sunny day.
And your brain is now elsewhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, one thing I failed to ask you early on when you were talking about your business, you mentioned, you know, you started out with those three clients. For our listeners that, that, you know, may be considering sales training, is there a minimum number of of team members before they can talk to you about this?
Thanks, Pat. There isn't, because what we do is we'll do private custom training. So somebody might have 50 people on the sales team. We come in and train all of them. But for smaller businesses, we have public workshops. And in our public workshop, we might have two people from this company. We might have an entrepreneur who's a CEO, kind of almost a single shingle to a certain extent, just building out, wanting to learn more about sales. And then we end up filling it with the new hires from a lot of our corporate customers. So the reason we started the public training was, if we trained a team of 50 people, you know, in January, by the following January, they've got 10 new sales hires, but they all want them trained on the same system. So no, you, whether you're large or small, we can support you either with private custom work or with our public workshops.
Mark, before we went live, we talked a little bit about some of the work you're doing in the community. Can you share with our listeners, please, some of the great work you're doing?
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, the big thing for us is we actually believe that sales is a profession. And certainly during my lifetime, what's going to end up happening with professional B2B sales is there'll be formal training and certification, not unlike an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, frankly, even real estate agents have to be certified and so on and so forth. So we want to increase the performance and professionalism of this critically important business discipline. So we like to go to some of the younger folks out there. And so when we run those public workshops, what we do is we provide scholarships to people who are within 1 to 2 years outside of university, who might be contemplating a career in sales or starting their first professional sales job. And it's a scholarship system, and they can jump into one of our public workshops and learn on us. So we offer 3 seats for every one of our, we call them SDR, BDR training workshops. And you know what? It's just super fun. Everybody in the workshop loves these people, by the way, and they're super keen, you know, and they've studied everything in advance and super engaged. And by the way, they're also incredibly gracious. So it's also kind of fun for them because they start to build a network. You know, they're starting their career in sales and they start to meet other sales leaders or people working for much larger companies. So every year we offer up to 10 of those free seats throughout the course of the year, which for us has a value of about $25,000.
Wow. And Mark, you know, when you're working with students at that level, is there still the sales stigma, you know, that
great question.
Yeah. Does that still exist?
I think it does. I think it does. But what you find, and by the way, I asked this question of a friend of ours who's been on the podcast a few times, a fellow named Frank Cespedes, who for 30 years has been teaching at, or 25 years, Harvard Business School, the MBA program. And I asked him that question because, you know, in the early days, he was teaching sales courses and no one would sign up. But now with so many young people jumping into startups and technology, they actually get this point that they need to learn how to sell. That it's not, you know, how you sell is actually more important than what you sell. That being the case, I do still think in many cases that stigma exists and that stereotype exists, because again, media, television, movies, all those things continue reinforcing those stigmas. Even Gil from The Simpsons, I love The Simpsons back in the day, you know, Glengarry, Glen Ross, Baldwin, and Pacino, all these things. It just talks about this being a very tactical trade, death of a salesman, but that's all over now. And you may have heard, do you know Daniel Pink?
No, I don't.
Daniel Pink, great author, top 10, kind of every one of his 10 books or 9 books have been New York Times bestseller, but he's very famous for a few of them. One is called To Sell Is Human. And he wrote this book primarily, he's not in sales, but a great book for anybody listening here today, where he says almost everybody's in sales in some capacity, 1 in 9 people in the U.S. in a professional sales job. But of the other 8 in 9, he did research and found they spend about 40% of their day trying to persuade somebody else to their point of view. So selling is, everything is selling. But he wrote the book because there was such a gap between that sales stereotype and everybody he knew in professional sales that were problem solvers, you know, intellectually curious, sharp, focused. And so he makes the analogy that today professional sales is really like management consulting. It's not about pitching and cajoling. It's about helping somebody solve a problem that they may or may not even know they have. So, but I think that stereotype does still exist, Pat. So we're all battling that to a certain extent. And that's one of the things we try and help our the folks in our program with first, which is let's understand what we are today. We're not talking brochures anymore. We used to be talking brochures 40 years ago. Now we're management consultants, and that's how we behave.
The reason why I brought that up, Mark, is, you know, when we're working from a marketing perspective with our clients, anytime I bring up sales, if it's an owner-operator type business where the owner is doing a bit of everything, oh, I don't want to sell. I said, well, then you shouldn't own a business, because you've got to understand. I said, either you believe in this or you don't. And I say to them all the time, if you believe in it, then by not trying to sell this service or product to the right people, you're actually doing them a disservice.
Exactly.
And that usually disarms them right away, because they, well, what do you mean? I said, well, do you really believe in this? And shouldn't they have this? And they said, well, yes, of course. I said, well, then, you know, by not bringing it up, you're doing them a disservice. And that seems to, and I also always quote Mark Cuban. I love his saying, sales cures all.
Yes.
Everything starts with sales. You need to get over it. You need to get proper training from someone like Mark, through in the funnel, anyone listening.
Thanks,
because you really do. It is the engine that debt and finances, I believe, are two sides of the coin here that drive that make a successful business.
Yeah, bravo. Well said.
Mark, where can our listeners find out more about your company and how you can help them?
Oh, thank you, Pat. So first of all, everybody, please connect with me on LinkedIn. That's probably our main channel. So it's Mark Cox, M-A-R-K-C-O-X. And the company is called In The Funnel. We love to hear from you. Our website's inthefunnel.com. And all of our workshops are on the website. But LinkedIn's probably our main channel. And Pat, I just say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for hosting me today. What a pleasure meeting you and chatting with you.
Thanks so much for your time, Mark. Really appreciate it.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.